and stuff and where you landed, it was exactly perfect.
Of a dead and hanging man who was kissing foreign fishes that flew right out from his hand. And when I put my arms around it, felt the blushing blood run through my cheeks in an airiness around it. When his tongue began to speak and he said, oh boy, you are so pretty. And after I tied in Wright's paper string, and when I finally kissed him, the whole world began to ring, lost like a bell that's tipping over, with two cracks along both sides. And I knew the world was over, so I took a look outside and watched the fires that were reaching up to the weather vane and the tops of trees and the waiting scene in the Sunday drink. They're all waiting here for me. The flower stands, their pretty girls and their burning nymphs hanging out on the hooks next to the window display. And I took out my tongue twice removed from my face, across the bridge and across the mountains, threw a nickel in a fountain, saved my soul from all these troubled times and all the drugs that I don't have the guts to take to soothe my mind. I'm always sober, always aching, always heading toward mass suicide. Figurines and waste the gas station attendants attending to their job. And a nice drive in the country, but a nice clip to drop off. Oh, and this life just gets so great, all the prettiness of life. But don't take those pills your boyfriend gave you, you're too wonderful to die.
You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Probably Birds, the only radio show that might be about birds. I'm your host, DJ Pending, and it is 105, 11, 12, 13 on a Monday night / Tuesday afternoon. And yeah, welcome to the space that people give me to talk about nothing to no one. It's kind of nice. This is the show where I have 30 minutes worth of music prepared. And it's an hour long. The show is an hour long. And so I have to fill the other 30 minutes with just anything, really. It doesn't have to even be talking. It could be ambient noise if I so chose. But I don't. So here's me. Here's my voice. And if my voice is ambient noise to you, then that's quite all right. Let me lower my volume. That's a bit better, I think. Anyways, welcome. Let's just be real honest. Let's cut to the chase here. Let's be straight with each other and admit that last show was not a great one. I mean, I don't know. I don't really judge them myself because I feel like I'm a pretty bad judge of self. But it wasn't. I mean, they're never very good, but I had to restart last show, like halfway through. I had to just say, all right, we're scrapping that. We're starting over. And with any luck, I won't have to do this week. And the reason that it was kind of low quality last week is that, as I've mentioned, I've recently started an internship that is ideal. I interact with young kids from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. today. And on Mondays, generally. And then I have to come here at 1 a.m. and I do a radio show, as you know, because you're here with me right now, or you're listening to it later, but I just told you what this is and where it is and when it is. So, regardless, we should all be on the same page now. Now, I think I'm getting used to the whole schedule with working with kids, which will hopefully help. So here we go. Welcome to my good radio show. Starring me, DJ Pending. My friends call me Jonah, but my friends also don't listen to this radio show, so they have no real reason to call me anything else. And yeah, I've been working with kids today. It's I can't talk too much about them and what I do for like confidentiality reasons, but I can speak very generally about what I do. And it's interesting, kids. They're like ages 8 to 13. To 12 or maybe 13. I think 8 to 12 is what I work with, who I work with. And they're pretty aight as far as kids go. I don't really know a lot about kids. I'm pretty unqualified for the job. I had never worked with kids in the past. And now all of a sudden I'm working with 8 of them and they all have, various behavioral / psychosocial needs that I'm supposed to, at least to some extent, help them achieve, fulfill, whatever you want to say about that. So that's the position I am. And I think they like me. I think the kids are fans of me, which is nice. As much as I have tried to mature to the point where I don't need the validation of an 8-year-old to keep my self-esteem afloat, I have not matured to that point. And it's still really great when, well, for example, they give me gifts sometimes, nothing insane, but really. But for example, today I received an ice cube from a child, and I said, yeah. She was like, "Do you want ice?" And I'm like, "All right." And so she gave me an ice cube, and I'm like, "Cool." So I was holding this ice cube, and I saw the two other adults I work with decline the ice cube, and I thought, "Ah, well, I guess I should have declined." But then the third adult accepted the ice cube. So I guess I was, at the very least, not the one weird grown adult walking around with an ice cube. And it soon became apparent that I was supposed to put it in my mouth and eat it. So I did that. And I feel like that was like cementing some sort of a bond between me and these children. Like that was an alliance. It's the equivalent of a handshake for us older people. Ice cubes. And then later in the day, I was gifted a single bell, like a jingle bells, the ones that jingle all the way. And that was very nice. That one I had more of an idea what I should do with, because it's an instrument. Or, I don't know. I don't know if jingle bells are an instrument. They don't really have tones or any. I should have brought it, actually. I thought about bringing the jingle bell, but I thought, there's no way I'm gonna have to resort to talking about that, because I have far more interesting things to say. But no, evidently not. Are jingle bells instruments? I think, well, what is an instrument? This is not a question I'm going to answer. This is just something that I want you to think about. And next week, maybe we could revisit this. So that's our homework for the week. Think, what is an instrument? And also think, is a jingle bell? Just one jingle bell, mind you. I didn't get a whole bunch of them. They're not like on a stick for me to wave about. No, this is a single bell unattached to anything. and I can shake it and it makes a bit of a sound, but not much of a sound because I'm holding it and therefore, you know, dimming it, muting it, mulling it. Mulling it's definitely not the right word. The other two are pretty hit or miss. But yeah, so I've been working with kids and overall they're pretty nice and they give me things and I'm slowly kind of earning their trust. I feel like maybe, I wonder if this is how ethnographers feel, you know, anthropologists, where they go out into the field and they have to convince whoever they're, whatever culture they're trying to study, that their presence is justified in some way, valid in some way, that they should be privy to the practices of said culture and the meaning behind said practices. That's me with these kids. I was drawing with one of them, and I was very flattered when I was allowed to draw on the same picture. It's interesting, because when I was a kid, I thought the adults knew what was up. But now that I'm an adult working with kids, I realize I'm just winging it based on, you know, tokens of gratitude they give me and, you know, the pictures they let me draw on. But anyways, we started the night with Song Against Sex by Neutral Milk Hotel, and then the Probably Birds theme song by my uncle and cousin. And now we're going to continue playing music, I think, because that's what half this radio show is. So I hope y'all enjoy. I'll be back to talk in a bit. And know that you are wonderful and beautiful, and thank you for joining me for this period of time. You beautiful, wonderful person. Okay, enjoy. I'll be back, love.
ground was wet and the sky was dark. You took her bed and she took your heart. Wrapped it round an oak tree like you did that 67 GT. Oh, oh no. But lovers leave chaos and clothes and quiet corners where you rarely ever go. One day you find proof that she was real despite your struggle to forget. Oh, yes. You're in a fight to the death, my friend. Black metal t-shirt, your shield. You've got the past on your breath, my friend. Now name all the monsters you've killed. Let's name all the monsters you've killed. Man she chose to take her place turns his collar up to better frame his face. How you love to hate her, but you just can't hate somebody you don't know. Oh no. Did she leave a trail of crumbs so you could find her when you're what you could become? Did she know you well enough to realize that garden just won't grow? Oh no. You're in a fight to the death, my friend. Airwaves a grand battlefield. You've got the past on your breath, my friend. Now name all the monsters you killed. Let's name all the monsters you killed. In my sleep, I build machines, but nobody ever wants to hear about my dreams. Last night I saw a burning Ferris wheel. The meaning's anybody's guess. Oh, yes. Lovers leave chaos and clothes. More debris than you can sort through in one go. You say love is hell, but it's the ghost of love that's made you such a mess. Oh, in a fight to the death, my friend. Fight like you're chained to the wheel. You've got the past on your breath, my friend. Now name all the monsters you killed. Let's name all the monsters you killed.
All right. Oh my God. My headphones are way too loud and I'm deafening myself. That's much better. All right. You just heard, or I should say we just heard because I'm also listening. We just heard Aberdeen by Cage the Elephant, followed by Chaos and Clothes by Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit. Sometimes I wonder what would happen if I accidentally left my mic on as I play the music, because a lot of what I do in this room when I'm not talking to whoever is listening currently is I sing along to the songs, and I sing pretty loud. It's a luxury afforded to me by the fact that no one else is here right now, where I can just kind of do whatever I want, and that involves singing. I mean, I don't know, I'm not going to judge my own singing, but I'm not going to say it's wonderful. So singing not wonderfully, pretty loud. But anyways, we need a jingle for this moment, but it's time for a PSA. Maybe that could be the jingle. It's not even a song. It's just, it's time for a PSA. And here is a PSA. Today you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You went to work. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council. Okay, there is our PSA for the day. Now, we were talking a bit before I got cut off by myself about kids and adults. And when you're growing up, you hear a lot of sort of anecdotes about how... Whoops. Sorry, I'm breaking things, but I fixed them. You hear a lot of anecdotes about how adults don't actually know what you're doing, what they're doing. And as a kid, I never, like, fully believed it. Like, I sort of understood what they were getting at, where, like, adults still have questions and nothing's really ever certain and we're all working on something. But when I was a kid, I never really realized the full magnitude of what adults were trying to convey to me when they said, we don't know everything. What they really meant, I'm learning for myself, is that we don't know anything. In that when you get older, you don't really, in my experience, other people may have had a very different development than me. You may have been far more successful, but in my experience, as I grow old, I don't really get answers to any of the questions I had when I was younger. I just learned that there's a lot more that I don't know. It's kind of like, I don't know whose metaphor this is, but the candle in the dark metaphor or whatever of scientific discovery, where the more you learn, the more you find out how much left there is to learn, because like the circumference of the circle grows and you can see that there's just that much more darkness out there. That's kind of like me, except I'm not learning anything. So it's more of a stumbling through the dark metaphor, you could say. Where when I was born in darkness, like Bane. I was born in darkness, and I stumbled around in my little dark area, not knowing anything. And as I grew older, I started stumbling farther and farther away, still never knowing anything, but realized that there's a whole much more everything that I could stumble through blind. And so that's been my experience, and I suppose that's the lesson I want to convey to the kids. That nothingness. And it's, in some ways, it's kind of scary, but I find it kind of beautiful, really, that we have this sort of pervasive chaos that we keep under wraps all the time, where, you know, someone comes up to me and they say, DJ Pending, can you get me your paragraph for the assignment by Tuesday? And I say, oh, yeah, sure. I've been working on that all week. But what I really mean to say is that there is no certainty in this shifting sands we call life. And she says, great, that's fantastic. I'll see you at lunch tomorrow. And what she's really saying is that the God I worship is a black hole and it will swallow us all whole. And it's bizarre, isn't it? That's the conversations we have with each other. We use words and we make things orderly and fit and comfortable. But I don't know. It's like stowing darkness or stowing chaos. It's like, this is terrible. I'm not trying to be profound, and I know I'm not being profound. I'm just saying words. And in some ways, doesn't that illustrate my point far better than any actual, like, you know, well-articulated thoughts could? I like to think so. Anyways, let's move on from stuff like that to snow. It snowed, guys. Isn't that nice? I like the snow a lot. Some people don't. I've mentioned this before in the show. The thing of having a weekly hour-long radio show every week is that you end up mentioning a lot of things, but I like the snow a lot. And it snowed a fair amount last night, which meant that we kind of sort of had a snow day. At Tufts, we had a delay until noon, which meant I missed my class today, which was nice because I got to stay in bed. I'm a big fan of snow days. It's kind of less magical when you are in college. As I'm sure my listeners know, because I doubt there's anyone not in college or beyond listening, but in college you get a snow day, but it doesn't really mean a whole lot because the vast majority of your work is, you know, at home anyways. And there's the added problem of you don't have your parents living with you, and so you actually have to wake up and check if there's a delay or a cancellation yourself. And at that point, you're already up, and so you're like, all right, might as well get up and shower and eat breakfast. I did not do that. I stayed in bed until like 11, and I don't regret that in the slightest. But I was up for a while because I had to wake up to see if I had to go to my class, but I just lied in bed. And that was very nice for me because I was tired. I need that amount of time in the morning to sort of, you know, get my stuff going. It's like my eyes wake up. My eyes open, and then very slowly, there's a chain reaction down my body. So my eyes are open first, and then just the wakefulness trickles down until finally gets to my feet, like an hour and a half later, or longer. And at that point, I'm able to get out of bed. But for a lot of that time, I just lie there, and I think about things, or mostly I think about how comfortable my bed is and how happy I am to be under the covers, not up and moving. And that's really great for me. Or I don't know if it is good for me, but it feels really good to me. And for the simplicity of it, let's just equate good for me and feels good. Great. I told you what songs we played. I guess now I'll play the next couple of songs because that's sort of how this radio show progresses. We have to move forward. As much as we'd like to stay, we can't. Time marches on, and we have to march with it. And so, I hope y'all enjoy the next couple of songs. I enjoy them. If you don't enjoy them, that's okay too. I don't mind too much. But I do hope you enjoy, and you are beautiful and loved, and I'll be back, and I'll tell you more all about that at some point soon. So enjoy. Great. Here's some music. Yeah.
The last 10 days have been a motherfucker. I don't know if I'd survive. With the synapse that calls blood bats into action as now enter the tablelands. It's only natural to feel a little imbalanced. It's a symptom of your hysterical need to be understood. You had to forgive your enemy cause it was making you psychotic to keep fighting him inside of your head. But how could you allow these people that you don't even respect to rape your self-concept and make your inner world an ugliness? Just to feel something ugly enough to be true.
asshole, get on the horse and ride. God is an Indian and you're some asshole, just get on your horse and ride. Get on the 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 horse and ride.
All right, we just heard, whoops, oh no, we're good. Let me start again. All right, we just heard Triumph of Disintegration by Of Montreal, followed by Paraphrased by Parquet Courts. And then finally, God is an Indian and You're an Asshole by Modest Mouse. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that word on the radio. You know the one that I just said, but I've said it. And it's not that bad a word. I mean, kind of the litmus test is, do they say it on network television? I think would be a good kind of litmus. I don't know that's actually the standards. Apparently, you can't say Jesus Christ on network television. And here I am saying it because, you know what? I don't think it's that bad. And if the FCC disagrees, then I'm in a lot of trouble with the station and perhaps with, you know, regulations. I mean, Jesus Christ, that would be a nightmare to deal with. Okay, I've said it twice. I really hope it's okay. It should be, right? It's just a name. But moving on from that, I better not. Why am I... Here's the issue, listeners. I'm moving on when I have nothing to say. And not that I'm saying much at the moment, but I've got... It's as if I've planned to move houses without actually securing a second house. I'm just packing up all my belongings. I've rented a U-Haul because that's what people do nowadays when they want to move, right? They rent a U-Haul because no one's going to pay for the movers to do it. You know how to lift things. You know how to haul things. You're the hauler. It's U-Haul. And guess what? You're now qualified to drive a truck because you're paying someone money. So you get a U-Haul and you're loading all your stuff and you got your mattress, your bookcases, your books, maybe they're still on the cases. Maybe you've just... Here's a cool moving hack. Instead of packing your bookcases and books, or book if you have a single book, and that's fine too. But instead of packing this all separately, what you can do is what I've learned, is you can just saran wrap the bookcase with the book still in it. So you saran wrap it many times around so that the books are saran wrapped into the case. And you load the whole thing into a U-Haul, guess what? You've just saved like $5 on boxes. Or rubber bands, if you want to rubber band your books. That's not the solution here. Saran wrap. It costs like... I have no idea how much saran wrap costs, actually. But I assume pretty cheap. And many people already have it lying around. But so you load your bookcases and your mattress and any other, a chair, maybe you own a chair, a desk, I don't know what furniture you own. You load it into a U-Haul and you start driving, and you don't have another house to go to. What do you do? That's the good question, and one that I plan to answer right now, is you start talking about people moving with U-Haul trucks. But if you're actually trying to move, I would recommend finding a nice... I mean, you don't want to be near anyone else wherever you go, because they're going to get mad at you for just dumping your stuff there and staying around. So drive out to the woods or like an empty parking lot, and you could probably stay a couple nights before anyone really cares enough to tell you to leave. Like if you go to like an abandoned mall and just bring your stuff there and, you know, set up camp with your bookshelves and a mattress and a desk and a chair, a lamp maybe. Not that you have an outlet, but maybe you own a lamp. And lamps are... I mean, the primary purpose of a lamp, don't get me wrong, is to cast light. But even if you have a broken lamp, it kind of can pull a room together. There's sort of a vibe that's conveyed by owning a lamp. You're saying, I'm a person who cares about having a well-lit space, but also not too well-lit, because most lamps are like kind of cast like a warm light. I'm a person who cares about having this light source that can also make a statement about my tastes. And the statement is that I'm that kind of person. So you're in a parking lot and you've put your mattress down. And I would, at this point, to be honest, I would recommend leaving the Saran wrap on your bookcase, because you're out there in the open. And if you're not careful, it could rain. If you are careful, it won't rain. But if you're not careful, it could rain. And then your books get damp. Now, there's a lot you can do with a damp book, but one thing that's made more difficult is reading the book. And that's like a primary purpose of a lamp is to cast light. The primary purpose of a book, of most books, is to be read. And so I'd recommend keeping the Saran wrap on, just, you know, keeping the book safe from the weather. Here's a bird fact. This is probably birds, after all. Sometimes birds might mess around with an exposed book. They might bite it. No, they might peck it. That's what birds do. They could use it as nest material. And so just generally, keep the birds out, keep the rain out, keep that bookcase Saran wrapped while you look for a new home. I guess I can give you home buying tips now. I've never bought a home because I'm 21 and living at, I mean, I have like an apartment, but I'm in college. But if you kind of go around a neighborhood, you'll see signs that say for sale in front of some homes. And generally, those homes are available for purchase. The main issue people run into in buying homes is that they are pretty expensive. And so a good amount of years before you try to buy a home, you're going to want to do a couple of things. You're going to want to get a credit card and maybe take out some small loans. And you're going to want to pay off the credit card and those loans. And that's going to help you build credit. And credit basically tells rich people with money that you're good. You're not going to leave them hanging. You're going to get them the money back. And so once you've done that for, you know, a solid amount of time, you're also going to want a good job that gives you enough money to buy a home. Now, if you don't know where to find these, I would suggest... Well, there are a couple routes to take. You can go to college, but that's not always a fail-safe. You can trade school. I'm going to recommend trade school. You go to trade school, you do an apprenticeship or whatever, you get a pretty good job at the end of that. It pays pretty decent, is my understanding. So you go to trade school, and then you're going to want to go to the bank and ask for money. And then you're going to take that money to the house for sale. And if you're lucky, you can just buy it then? Probably not. You're going to want to get the house inspected. But at some point, you can purchase the house and move in. But on that note, I have more music to play. I hope that was helpful. Feel free to consult that advice at any time. I'm going to play more music. I wish you the best. I'll be back. I love you. I'll be back in not too long. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. Have a couple of songs. You fantastic person. You. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, we just heard Lounge by Modest Mouse, followed by Candy Floss by Wilco, and those two songs will close out the night for us. And dear listeners, I have just learned something during that. Well, I want to call it a music break, but I don't know if I'm willing to commit to. If I call it a music break, it makes it seem like talking's the main point of the show. And I'm not really ever willing to commit to that. So during the music, I discovered that, in fact, there is no show after mine. For a little bit of time this semester, there was, but the people who came after me, like, haven't shown up in like a month. And so I checked the schedule, and in fact, there is no one after me. Probably Birds is the last show of the night. If you want to stick around until 5 a.m., you're either going to have a robot playing music for you, as it will for the rest of the time, or someone named Amelia and their show Fauna Sauna. What does it say? This show is a jumble of world, folk, funk, punk, and alternative lo-fi. It's weird that only the alternative is lo-fi. Why not some lo-fi folk? I guess Neutral Milk Hotel can sometimes be lo-fi folky-ish. Don't quote me on that. Please don't. Anyways, let's talk about self-care, because that's something we do on this show. I really like the idea of having jingles for this show, like more than just our theme song. But I don't know how to make jingles. But we could do like, you know, it's time for self-care. That's terrible. It doesn't even rhyme. And it's... Okay, let's talk about positivity. This is an excellent segue. Or maybe we won't. I always think of good self-care advice, and then I forget it. But let's talk self-care. Let's talk the basics. You are a human being, I assume. You are a human being. You are living here in this world, and you deserve love and respect and kindness just like anyone else. How about this? How about if you're ever in a situation where you don't know if you're doing the right thing, or if you feel uncomfortable with some choices, but you don't really know how to navigate. Oh my God, there's someone in the station. That's terrifying. You can probably hear me too. It's pretty awkward that I'm mentioning this. Sorry, I was just really surprised. Whew. Okay, you're wondering what to do. Just take a step back and ask, you know, what would I tell a friend? And it can really help to sort of distance yourself from the problem and imagine that you're trying to help someone else out. I mean, this is kind of advice that most of us know about, but it's important to remember to use it. And it really can help you make decisions that seem hard to make for yourself if it feels like you're giving advice to a friend. So there's a self-care tip. And just remember that you are loved and beautiful and lovely. And with that being said, I'm going to sort of ramble on for the next 3 minutes. And then I'm going to turn it over to the robot who will play music. And it's kind of the robot as a collective in its sort of campaign for automation. It does a good job, too. Let me say real quick. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. That is something that the robot will never forget to say, because it is a robot and it's good at remembering things. But what can't it do? It can't just say words for 3 minutes straight, at least not in a... Well, I'm not going to call my words coherent, but not in the way I say words. A robot can't replace me. It can only... Well, it can. It can't replace me, but it can replace my function. And that's just kind of something that we all have to learn to live with, I think. I don't mind it too much. It's kind of like Roombas replaced the vacuum cleaner people. And by the way, I love Roombas. They're so... I don't know how many of y'all have interacted with a Roomba before. I've only ever interacted with a knockoff Roomba. But they're fantastic. They wake up and they just scoot around your floor like a little robot. Because that's what it is, and it picks things up, and then when it gets a little bit too tired, it goes back to its, like, bed, or charging dock, if you will, and takes a nap, and it's adorable. And it's amazing that I can feel so much love for something so mechanical, something so obviously soulless, heartless, but I feel like we as humans, and me as a human, as a person living in this world, I see these things and I, with the love I have for it, I give it a soul. Does that make any sense? Or like Curiosity Rover. That is a robot that I think we all understand has some level of personality. And yet it's just machine. It's metal, it's wire, it's on Mars. And dying. Slowly, like any one of us. And that kind of gives it more personality. But I don't imagine the Curiosity Rover as like a static, as like, you know, as a robot, as mechanical. I imagine it as a dude who's on Mars, who's doing science for us. And it's kind of quirky, it's kind of fun. But isn't that incredible? Can we just think about that? It's 2 a.m. Just give me that thought for a moment, please. And on that kind of note, it is 2 a.m. basically, which means my show is basically over. So let's just conclude by saying, I hope y'all enjoyed. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful night and a wonderful week. And from the bottom of my heart, please do take care.